Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. So I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The word of God for the people of God.
It's that time of year again. The time where we look back on all that the past year was, we get ready for the new year, we think about all of the things we would have done differently, all of the things we plan to do differently, and how we're going to accomplish those goals. I dare say it's a time of resolutions. I think we all know what the season brings to each of us. And if you're on Facebook, or if you, you know, if MSN comes up when you log on to your computer, or if you're connected to any of those sites, you'll see that this is also a season where you're getting lots of articles about the best tips and secrets for 2015, or for the new year, or for success, for happiness, whatever the case may be. We're seeing all sorts of those being published and shared right now, newspapers and magazines. This is the time when they seek that opportunity to tell you how to do life better in the new year. And I think that's something we're all looking for. I think that's something that we desire as we look to this new year, is how we might be able to do things better, how we might be able to do things to the best of our ability. And so I want to share some of those with you today, some things that I found in looking for the tips and secrets. So first, among the secrets to success, don't sweat the small stuff. That's good, I think. Don't sweat the small stuff. That's a good life principle. Pace yourself. I haven't figured out exactly how that connects to success, pace yourself, but it's a good tip nonetheless. I'm sure that I'll figure that out eventually. Have good luck, also a little bit hard to do. You either have good luck or you don't, but all right, we'll go there. Be in the right place at the right time. I think we all have at least said that at one time or another. I was in the right place at the right time, or, well, you need to be in the right place at the right time, so I'll give them that one. Try and try again. You know, because if at first you don't succeed, you should try and try again. Yeah, otherwise known as be determined. So, you know, don't let it get you down. Keep trying, and you will have success. The secrets to happiness in life. I have those for you today. Are you ready? The secrets to happiness in life are optimism. All right, that's a good one, optimism. Love, also one that I will agree with. Proactivity, I like that. If you're proactive, you will inevitably be happy. Security, I don't know what that means. I would like to have lots of security. I think that's a little bit hard to do. And good health, I think that that's important to happiness, absolutely. So those are your secrets to happiness in life. The secrets to a successful marriage or to a successful relationship, choose your battles, or it also said, don't sweat the small stuff. So I found that funny, is that that for a successful marriage and for success in life, you should not sweat the small stuff. Number two, communication is key. Absolutely, I would agree with that. Don't fight in public. I think that's absolutely a good rule for a successful relationship, because even if it doesn't make your relationship successful, it keeps others from feeling awkward. And then outsource chores. This is my favorite of all of the lists. And I don't know where we will get the money for outsourcing our chores, but I think we should all do that. Let's just, you know, hire all the people to do all the things. And then last, show your love in sweet, simple ways. I think that's a good one too. Show your love in sweet, simple ways. That's a good way to have a successful relationship. So these are just some of the answers that you'll find when you are out in the world looking for how to have better quality of life, how to do things differently in this new year. And I would bet that each of you has a tip to offer too, things that you found that help you have success or happiness, or that help your relationships be successful. But aside from this list, and I think we can all agree that there are some good things on there, you know, while outsourced chores is probably high on my list, I think we can all agree that there are some things on there that are legitimate, good things to do. But I think we can also agree that it's just not enough, that there's something more. There's something more that helps us to have success, happiness, healthy relationships. There's something more than just tips and a list of secrets. And so while I realize that Christmas passed 3 days ago, and many of us are ready to be done with that, I need you to bear with me for a second, because today we're going to talk about Christmas for a few minutes. I need us to talk about Christmas because I think that Christmas holds that something more. I think when we get past the list, when we get past our hopes and desires, I think that Christmas has the something that helps us achieve those. And so I think that now that Christmas is done, we have a tendency to be done, to put it all up, to move past the decorations and the parties and to get ready for New Year's, to be done with the stress, to be done with all of that Christmas was. But I think that perhaps we're too quick. We're too quick to put it all away, that we run the risk year after year of forgetting what it's all about, of forgetting what happens at Christmas that makes Christmas all that it is, the complicated yet meaningful season that it is for all of us. And I think we run the risk of forgetting the truth that we're reminded of at Christmas. Just the other day, it was the day after Christmas, my family and I have started a new tradition. We get hot chocolate and we go drive through the Bull Run Festival of Lights, and it's this great new thing that we do, and kind of to hold on to Christmas a little bit. And so we were doing that. We go to Starbucks and we get our drinks, and the barista hands them to us, and she says, "Happy New Year!" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're doing it too! Like, we're ready. We're moving on." But I think that we need to hold on to it. I don't think we need to be so done so fast, because Christmas, it stirs up a lot for all of us, right? I just said that. It makes us. We have different experiences and different encounters at Christmas. It makes us want to do things better. It makes us want to meet certain expectations. We have expectations. There's a lot that happens for us at Christmas, and often they're complicated experiences and feelings. Sometimes it's dread. Christmas comes and we're like, oh, here we go again. I haven't finished my shopping in October when they put out all of the Christmas decorations, and I don't even know what I'm going to do this year, or, the things that have impacted your life up to that point that year that make Christmas a little bit more challenging. For some of us, it's sadness or grief because, frankly, it's been tough, and Christmas is just another reminder that things aren't the way I want them to be. For some of us, we're in conflict throughout the whole season of Christmas. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what to feel or what to think. And then for others, it's that immense joy, that childlike wonder. Christmas is our time. We get to Christmas and we're like, yes, this is my season. I mean, I have friends who start watching Elf literally in October and listening to Christmas music in October because they get so excited that they just want to hold on to it. They want to build up. And yet, they're still the people who, as soon as Christmas is over, they're ready to move on to the new year. So Christmas just brings so much with it. And I would bet that at some point or another, we've all experienced all of those, and sometimes we experience all of them in one season. But regardless, I think we can all recognize that Christmas holds a lot for us. So once Christmas comes and goes, we're perfectly happy to put all of that away with the decorations and the lights. We're perfectly happy to say, I'm done. I want to go back to the day-to-day busyness. I want to go back to some sense of normalcy, things that I can predict experiencing to some degree, and we're ready to just move on and even into this new year where we feel like we have some sense of control over it. All right, this is my big goal for 2015, and I can accomplish it by doing this other thing. So I think Christmas stirs all of this up for us, and I think we need to pay attention to that. I had an experience on Christmas Eve that made me pause for a minute and reflect. I was up and out early. I was a little excited about the day, and I had some errands to run. Truthfully, I was last-minute Christmas shopping, if I'm going to be honest. And so I was kind of like out and about going 45 miles an hour, driving down the road, like gonna knock things off my list, get to the church, ready to have services. And I see somebody as I'm zipping down to go to 66. I see somebody out of the corner of my eye who caught my attention. And you'll recall on Christmas Eve, it was cold and rainy. And this person was pushing a cart that clearly had their personal belongings on it. And they had an umbrella. And as I kept going, my heart was still back there. I was still stuck thinking about that person. And I didn't stop because I was zipping by, but it stayed with me. And so I just felt conflicted because as I'm off buying gifts for my family to open on Christmas morning, there's this person who I don't know anything about, but just in the brief glimpse that I got, they were cold and wet and alone, and it was Christmas Eve. And I experienced that stirring, that conflict. And I was deeply moved because it made me stop and wonder, why was I so moved? I mean, there are obvious reasons as to why I was, this person caught my attention and I was compelled to pay attention. But was it because it was Christmas Eve? Was it because they looked so sad and so weary? What was it? And I wondered, when that happens for us during that season of Christmas, are we still stirred and compelled that in that same way when it's a Tuesday in March or when it's the summer, when it's not rainy and cold, do we still stop and pay attention? And, you know, it brought me great joy to come in and to worship, especially keeping that experience in the back of my mind, because it further affirmed how God is leading us as a church with the guest house, and it made me feel good about the ways that we are reaching out to the community for those people who are weary, who are cold, who are in need of hope. And it made me feel good about the Christmas Eve offering that I know goes to help people who are in tough spots, but it made me pause and wonder, what was it because it was Christmas Eve? Or do those experiences make us stop the rest of the year? So as we think about Christmas and all of the things that we experience at that time, I hope that at this moment right now you're thinking about those things for yourself. All of the experiences that you had over this holiday or past Christmases. And I wonder what it is about the Christmas season that causes that for us. What is it that creates those emotional experiences and the expectations and the complications, and what causes us to be moved so much during that season? My thought, I would like to propose that it's because Christmas is a time when we feel safe to do that. Christmas is a time when we're encouraged to pay attention, to feel. We have traditions. We have families that create a season in which we have emotional experiences and we're permitted to have them. And I also think that somewhere deep within us, we know that the season will come to an end, that all of the things that we feel, all of the things that we experience, we want to enjoy them while they're here because Christmas will end, but we also know that it's safe to feel them because Christmas will end. And so we don't have to feel all the time and we don't have to feel conflicted all the time. We can just go back to normal life. But I'd like to propose also that we're not supposed to do that. That the way that we experience Christmas is the way that we should be living every day. I believe that if we can use Christmas as a reminder, that if we can use Christmas as the start of something instead of as kind of the end of our year, that the year that we are coming into will be deeply impacted. That instead of letting December 25th or 26th or whenever our festivities end be the end of Christmas for us, that we hold on to that just a little bit every day. And no, I don't mean living Christmas every day. I think that that's a tricky phrase, because what does that even mean? And I certainly don't mean leaving the decorations up. Because, listen, I think we can all agree that they're beautiful, but I don't think we need to have them up all the time. But what I do mean is, instead, allowing the Spirit to keep us in that season of expectancy. Allowing the Spirit to move within us, to fill us with truth, to guide us on how to live our life, to guide us on how to be the best that we can be, to guide us in how God wants us to live in this new year. Because you know what? We know the secret. We don't have to look to the articles. We don't have to look to the tips and the lists, because we know. We know how we can achieve a better year. We know how we can move forward every day, living life in such a way that we will be happy and have success. Because we know that Christmas is more than a story. We know that Christmas is more than a season, but instead Christmas is about Christ coming close to each of us. Christ coming into the world and drawing near to us so that Christ can dwell with each of us. One of the names that Christ is called by is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Yeah, God with us. So God wasn't just with us during the 33 years of Jesus' life and ministry, but God stays with us, because when Jesus came at Christmas and lived and then died, he left his Spirit with us. And that Spirit is the Spirit of truth that our scripture refers to today. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. And you know him because he lives. He lives in each one of us. In the scripture today, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit will receive from you, what he will make known to you. And he will tell you what is yet to come. But how do we do that? Because I think that's a little bit easier to want than it is to do. How do we do it? How do we allow the Spirit to move? How do we keep the Christmas experience alive? How do we allow Christ to dwell within us, to draw close to us, and to fill us with that truth? Because within day-to-day life, we have a lot of distractions. We have responsibilities and lists and agendas and things that cloud our ability to hear. And we don't mean for it to. We don't. It's just what we're working with. And so it becomes difficult to truly surrender to how God is trying to speak to us, to how the Spirit of truth is moving within us. So how do we do it? Because if we can hear from the Spirit, then those Holy Spirit moments, they'll be defining moments. They will change our year. They will change us little by little. I remember as I was spending time with the scripture, I was thinking about the first time that I was really aware of the Spirit's presence in my life, because I grew up in a Christian home, and so I had a really good intellectual understanding of faith. But I was thinking about when the first time I felt the Spirit move was, and I remembered. I was 17, and it was my first Sunday at college. And that was a time in my life when I was fully embracing all of the distractions that life had to offer. I was not really focused on God at all. And growing in my faith was low on my priority list. Frankly, it's really by God's grace I was at college at all at that point. I was so distracted. I had my own list and agenda, and I had a plan, and that's what I was doing. And it made no sense on any planet, but that's where I was headed. So whatever caused me to go, I went to our Sunday chapel service that first Sunday at college. And I was close enough to home. I could have gone to my home church, you know, as I was in that in-between of finding a church at college. But for whatever reason, I went to the Sunday chapel service. And as I reflect, I realize it's because I was looking for something. I probably justified it by saying I was, you know, going to go check out the worship team, or I was going to go whatever. I was investigating something. But ultimately, I was looking for something. And so I'm sitting in this large auditorium all by myself, and I'm in a room full of strangers, and the worship team starts singing. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And I just cried. I just cried. Because in that moment, I realized that the eyes of my heart weren't open. I realized that I was so closed to letting God work within me, to letting God speak to me and to move me. And that was a defining moment for me. I've had many more of those Holy Spirit moments over the years, all of which have been surprising. I mean, I would say I was legitimately surprised by my response in that moment. And that's what I find is true about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's always challenging us, surprising us, and often to places of discomfort or to unexpected opportunities. But when I have been surrendered to each one of those moments, when I have been paying attention and trusted that the Spirit was leading me, it's caused me to have a more full life. A life that has been full of surprises and not all good, but it's been happy, and it's full. And I get to be here with all of you today, which is one of the great surprises, but better than anything I could have planned or dreamed. So I would invite you to do the same right now. Stop for a second. Stop and recall the last time you felt the Spirit move. Where were you? What were you doing? How did you respond? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you haven't felt the Spirit at all yet, and that's okay too. But what I can promise you is that the Spirit's moving, that the Spirit of truth is moving in each of us and wants to guide you and to give you that word of truth. There are so many things that can stand in our way, so very many things. All of those things I mentioned before, our checklists, our agendas, our responsibilities, our complicated contexts, the things that we don't plan and yet happen and then distract us because we're trying to deal with this thing that showed up in our life that we weren't really ready for, our insecurities, our baggage, our well-intentioned humanness. All of those things can keep us from hearing. And no, we don't always mean for them to, but they can keep us from hearing. And sometimes it's easier, isn't it, to let those things distract us, because sometimes it's just too much. It's too much to feel, because sometimes feeling and understanding don't go hand in hand. Sometimes it's too much to process. Like when you feel the Spirit moving you and you don't understand, what does that mean? It's too much to process, too much to risk. But if we will listen, if we will allow ourselves to be open, if we will keep our focus fixed on Christ, fixed on Christmas, not the season of busyness and stress and beautiful decorations, but on Christ coming to dwell within us, then our life will be impacted, and the Spirit will offer us truth that will change us. And it's that truth that overwhelms us. It's truth that gnaws at us. It's truth that others in our life will affirm, because it's oh so much easier to see truth for others than it is for ourselves. But ultimately, it's truth found in Scripture, a gift that we have been given, where we can find all of the truths that we need. So as we seek answers, as we seek those next steps for our 2015, ways to find happiness and success and quality of life and to be the best that we can be, yes, we can absolutely find those things in those lists. We can absolutely achieve happiness and have good relationships by showing love in simple and small ways, by not sweating the small stuff or choosing your battles, by absolutely outsourcing your chores. I'm not going to let it go. And yes, it's smart to be determined. Those are all good things to do. But it's just not enough. It's just not enough. And frankly, it's really hard to do those things if we're not looking to God to lead us in them. So, I have a list. I have my own list for the secrets for 2015. And the best news about my list is there's only three things on it. So I think we can all agree that a three-item list is absolutely achievable. So here they are. Number one, find time for stillness. See, that's something that is so challenging for us in the midst of our lives, that those few seconds felt a little strange. Find time for stillness, because when we're still, we'll hear. When we pay attention, we'll hear the truth. We'll feel Christ stirring within us. Because, you know, when we want to grow in a relationship, we've heard this over and over again. What do you need to do? You need to have good communication. That was on. Communication is key. That was on the list at the beginning. But you can't have good communication if you're not listening. So find time for stillness. Number two, make your faith the priority this year. Make your faith the priority. Here's what I know. It is so hard to figure out what falls in our list of priorities. I struggle with that on a daily basis. How do I do all of the things all the time? And what do I make a priority? But what I know is that if we make our faith the priority, like, that's a game changer. Making our faith the priority creates a new kind of accountability, because then people are seeing what our focus is. People are seeing who compels us, who leads us, and that will change everything that we do. So make worship the priority. I mean, look, you're here today. It's December 28th. I mean, good job. You're already starting off well. Continue to do that, because you will leave today with something you wouldn't otherwise have had. Perhaps it's a new energy. Perhaps it's a deep breath. Perhaps it's that word from the Spirit. But whatever you do, if you make faith the priority, if you'll make worship the priority, it's going to change every day after. Connect to a small group. Because in small groups, you find those people who are going to speak truth to your life. You're going to find opportunities to engage in the Scripture which holds the truths. You're going to find community that's going to walk alongside of you and be with you in all of life's complications. And they're going to help you keep faith as your priority. And number three, input what you want to output. Input what you want to output. Because here's what I know. If Christ has come to dwell within each of us, Christ wants to live out of each of us. Christ wants us to be out in the world, making a difference and following the Spirit's guidance to sharing Christ with others. And we can't do those things if we're not filling ourselves up. So take the time to read Scripture. Fill your heart with things that are life-giving. I have found this to be so true in my own life. I have found that if I don't start the morning off with worship music, my whole focus has changed. Like if I choose to listen to one of the secular stations or to talk radio or something like that, like it changes the way I think throughout the whole day. And while worship music might not be that thing for all of you, I would invite you, Bible Gateway has an app, or you can go online. However you need to do it in your context, whatever works best for you, Bible Gateway does a verse of the day. Let that be the thing you start your day with. If you have a terrible commute, which can honestly be a game changer for me throughout the day, if the commute's bad and you're worried about time and punctuality or it's just exhausting, like that can change the way I live my day. But instead, you've got a huge opportunity to work through the Scriptures, because you can push the listen button on your Bible Gateway app, or do a scripture on CD or a book on CD, whatever the case may be. There are lots of ways that you can be connected to Scripture during those first moments of your day that will help input what you want to output. There was a song when I was younger. It was on one of those kids' CDs. It was a Christian kids' CD that my mom had gotten for us, and I wish I remembered it better because I'd love to sing it because I'm pretty sure it was great. But it was called Garbage In, Garbage Out. And I think that's really true. If we're not filling our hearts with life-giving food, then we're not going to give out what we really want to. So those are my three things. That's our list for the year. My challenge for each of us, myself included, find time for stillness. Make your faith the priority, and input what you want to output. And I would bet that if we can do all of those things and do them together, because there is, in fact, safety in numbers, then our year will be all that we hope it will be. Amen.